Show 77 WABC.
Welcome back to the John Katzmatidis Cats at Night Show. I'm Lydia Serrano here with John Katzmatidis and Ed Cox. And we also have on the line with us a, what would you like to, you know, Larry Kudlow. There's so many words to describe him. Brilliant, economy expert, works under the Trump administration. Now he's a Fox News star. He's a WABC star. Welcome, Larry Kudlow.
And a star back in the Reagan administration.
Oh, yeah. I mean, could go on and on.
You're all wonderful. Anytime. You're all wonderful.
Well, the market closed at, again, almost an all-time high of 35,000. Is that the true indicator of the economy is going in the right direction? Meanwhile, interest rates are fluctuating. They were up. They were going down most of the week. Bitcoins were down below 30,000. They tried to recover a little bit. What say you, Larry Kudlow?
Well, look, down 35,000 is a record. That's a record. It's a real milestone. We'll see if it can hold, but that's a very big deal. And fundamentally, you have record profits, and you have almost free money. Interest rates are going to – profits are going to stay high. The economy is in very good shape, I think. I mean, that was really the high point of the week, was Dow 35,000. And by the way, I would own stocks for the long run. I would not own Bitcoin for the long run. The low of the week, though, was when President Biden at the town hall said that more federal spending will get inflation down. And in fact, he repeated that. Inflation will go down. Inflation will go down. He repeated it three times. It's kind of like the Good Witch of the North in The Wizard of Oz when she clicked her heels, her slippers three times. So magically, unfortunately, more federal spending will not bring down inflation, and the regulatory strings attached to more federal spending will damage the economy if that $3 trillion or $4 trillion or $5 trillion, if that actually goes through. I don't know that it will go through, but people should keep an eye on that. More spending will create higher inflation.
I would love to have an enterprising reporter. I'd love to have an enterprising reporter ask Chairman Powell that question. Do you agree with the president? What do you think he would say, Larry?
Well, I think he would have to say no. It may cost him his job. But
I think he wants to stay 10 more years. I think he's going to say the president is a brilliant person.
Well, dodge the issue.
I'm not sure he'd go that far. I mean, Jay Powell has, you know, said, for example, you know, the Biden administration is obsessive about global warming, with calling it an existential risk, which is wrong. It's utterly wrong, and the facts prove they're wrong. And Powell said a few weeks ago that the Federal Reserve would not be influenced by global warming policies, which I thought was very brave. That may cost them his job. And they're probably going to have to, you know, taper down their bond purchases at some point because the inflation is a problem. Whether it's temporary or not, it's still a problem. But the one thing we know is that more spending and the regulatory strings that go with it and higher taxes will do great damage to the economy. And that's the issue. It's out there, and people have to be sensitive to that. And we'll see how that all plays out. But right now, you know, again, high profits and low interest rates is a very good mix. Lee Cooperman, who is a great friend of mine, he's an investment icon, he said this week that at the current level of interest rates, nothing is overvalued in the stock market. He doesn't like bonds, but he said nothing is overvalued in stocks, and I think he's right. And you're getting booming profits. So all that's good. So it's like, as usual, the Washington story is not good, but the Wall Street story and the economic story is good.
So how can you have low interest rates with inflation going up and up and up? How do you square that circle?
You sound like you're like Biden in reverse. He said it's going to go down and down and down. So you're saying it's going to go up and up and up. We'll have the Wicked Witch of the West click your heels three times for you. By the way, The Wizard of Oz is a fabulous book. It's all about the gold standard and the election of 1896. But I digress. I don't know that inflation is going to go up and up and up. That is going to depend perhaps most of all on the reconciliation bill. But I do think that there's a lot of good things going on right now, and I wouldn't want to obsess just about that. I mean, half of the inflation rise is one-time post-pandemic demand, supply shortages, and commodity bumps. The dollar is holding very well. King dollar is strong. The bond market rates are low. The TIPS break-evens are a tiny bit. They're like 35 basis points higher. So that's a little inflation worry. But basically, the financial markets are looking through the inflation. So the big thing here, I had a guy tonight, Jason Smith. He's the ranking Republican on the House Budget Committee. And they are doing a very smart thing. They are now looking to return to budget caps and sequestration. The old Graham Rudman bill in the late 80s, and we had this in the Gingrich years. We had a budget deal a few years ago, but the caps were broken. So the idea of another $5 trillion in spending is so bad. I mean, I call it go woke, go broke. And you can't do that. And the debt ceiling is coming due in a few weeks. So they're talking about restoring budget caps and sequestration budget cuts if you break the caps. Now, that's the kind of constructive Republican policies that they should stay with. And they must fight this reconciliation bill. They must fight it, among other. I mean, again, I can think of 5 trillion reasons to beat reconciliation. One of them is amnesty for illegal immigration. They've snuck that in. Now, I'm all for immigration as long as it's legal. I'm completely in favor of immigration and assimilation.
Well, as long as we have checks and balances, too.
But it's got to be legal immigration. So that's another reason to defeat the reconciliation bill.
Now, Larry, let me ask you, energy and bank stocks were a little bit weak this week. Bank stocks, their earnings were not that bad. What do you account for that?
Their earnings are great.
Yep.
Their earnings are great. Banks have more money and they know what to do with. In fact, they're giving some of it back to the Fed. So, I would just be long the index. I'd be long the S&P index, and I'd keep holding it. My friends Jim Glassman and Kevin Hassett wrote a book, I don't know, about 15 years ago. Their timing wasn't great, but the title of the book was Dow 36,000. Now, I know it went to 700 first, but now we're at 35,000. And I still think the upward trajectory of the stock market is alive and well. And it's riding, you know, it's cresting on a wave of profits. Businesses are very productive. In fact, productivity is going up.
Well, the other thing that's going on, what's going on with energy, in your opinion?
Look, the stupidest thing I've seen in the energy sector is giving Russia the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, and then stopping American companies and stopping the Canadian company from either drilling or building pipelines here. This is utter stupidity. And that policy also has to be stopped, and that will be maybe part of reconciliation, or maybe you're just going to have to vote the Democrats out of Congress next year. The energy story is not good in the U.S., We're only producing 11 million barrels a day. We peaked at over 13 million. We should be the swing producer. And LNG exports should be a tremendous source of business for American energy companies. But the Biden administration has made a huge blunder in caving in to Putin on the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. This is a matter of national security because it gives Putin the keys to Europe and threatens the Ukraine and Georgia and the Baltics and Eastern Europe.
Oh, didn't Putin promise that it wouldn't impact Ukraine, Larry? Come on.
Yeah.
If Trump would have done that, they would have went after him for treason.
Yep.
Well, look, the point is Trump didn't do it. We were successful in stopping Nord Stream 2. I worked very hard on this with Mnuchin and O'Brien and Wilbur Ross and so forth. You know, we put sanctions on Allseas, the Swiss company, and the insurance companies, and we stopped them. And now Biden's people are saying, well, if Russia uses this as a weapon, they'll sanction them. Well, what are you kidding me? Of course it's a weapon.
It's crazy.
We just gave them the weapon.
Right.
Larry, last question before we have to take a break. Now, one of the major IPOs that was done in the last couple of weeks was Didi, a Chinese company. After they sucked out the American money into that company, the Chinese changed their mind and are trying to destroy that company.
Mm.
How much do you know about that?
Well, I don't know all the details about that. All right. But here's what I know. Americans should really stop investing in Chinese public companies. Now, again, as Trump policies, this is Robert O'Brien and I instituted a policy where the federal thrift savings plan could no longer invest in Chinese military companies. China, number one, cooks the books. They do not meet international accounting standards. Number two, a lot of that money flows into the Red Army, which controls many companies. And number three, the government of China has a call on every single Chinese company with respect to pulling in information and private documentation and ordering them around. In effect, Chinese public companies are instrumentalities of the state of China. And that's why Americans should be very, very wary, and frankly, I would avoid investment in China. These are not real companies. They are state-dominated companies, and it's a wicked state to begin with. So stay away from that. You want to invest overseas, you know, go to places that are more prominent. Go to Thailand. Go to Vietnam. Go to India. Go to Brazil. You know, right now, the international indexes are performing extremely well, along with the S&P 500. Stay away from China. That's my advice.
Thank you very much. And thank you for coming on and telling all the American people how you feel the economy is going. That's great. And God bless you and God bless America.
Thank you, John. Take care, everybody.
Thank you. Yep. Ed Cox, do you have any opinion on that? You're a Chinese expert.
Oh, yeah. Look, this is no longer Deng Xiaoping's China, where it's loosening up. The Communist Party was pulling back its control of the markets and China took off. Xi has now for 10 years been tightening the control of the Communist Party over everything, and including the military is coming in more and more to dominate.
But by doing this, by taking the American money and then trashing the stock, who else is going to invest next time in China? Haven't they thought about that?
No, Xi does not know that. He's like Mao. He is completely China, he does not understand that, and he is a communist right down to his fingertips.
Mm. Okay, let's take a break, and when we come back,
we'll have Frank Carone.
Frank Carone created the success of Eric Adams, I believe,
mm-hmm.
and I would like to hear about his vision of under an Eric Adams
administration,
how successful New York City is going to be.
We'll be right back.